It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, our teacher, Connie Stample, is with us. And Connie, welcome back to the table.
Thank you. And today we're going to be looking at Joseph and his dreams.
All right. Why don't I start with Genesis 37 right there. It's a little bit longer today, ladies, but this is very important. Joseph's dreams start this way. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was born of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. They said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind.
All right, well, let's kind of talk through this section and glean some of the insights we can get just from looking carefully at it. So last time we were together, we just talked all about Esau. We concluded Esau, and now we're learning more about Jacob and his family. And verse 2 says, "These are the generations of Jacob." So this is what's going to happen with Jacob's family. And we find then Joseph is the one being brought up. And, of course, Joseph is that favored son. He's the firstborn of Rachel, who's died. And he's 17 years old, meaning they've been in the land for 11 years. He moved from Padan Aram when he was 6. And then we find out that he was pasturing his flock with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. And then he brings back a bad report. And so we find out the brothers must have been doing something wrong. Joseph tells Jacob what was wrong. It implies that perhaps Joseph had some integrity and wanted to do what was right. But this angered the brothers because they've been found out, whatever they were doing. And then we also find out that Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than his other brothers, and he made him a robe of many colors, some kind of special robe, which set him apart, which the other brothers did not have. And truly, some of my research on this probably meant that it marked him as the clan leader. Mm. He now has firstborn status. Remember, we learned how Reuben and Simeon and Levi have been passed over for that. And by giving him this special coat, it seems that Jacob is saying, "Okay, you are going to lead the family," which, of course, he's one of the youngest sons, and he's from the favored wife, so the other brothers do not appreciate that.
Yeah.
Then we find that Joseph has some dreams, and he shares them with his brothers. And we could say, was that wise? But it's hard to know. But in both of those dreams, we find that the brothers are worshiping or bowing down or being subservient to Joseph. And then in his second dream, we find that not only his brothers, but also his father and his half-mother, Leah, do it. And then Jacob actually rebukes him.
Yeah.
And says, are we supposed to bow down to you, your parents? And interesting thing, but then Jacob keeps remembering and thinking about that. And so he's understanding God is working in some way, perhaps, in it. Interesting account, but we need to go on and find out what happens.
All right, picking it up in 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron and came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will come of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let us not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone. Where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This is what we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned his son for many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol with my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard.
All right, here we have a dramatic account of what happens in a family. And I hope we can, as we go through this, we will also see God's hand working in and through circumstances. We notice that Jacob sends Joseph to check on his brothers, and he has to go 50, 60 miles because they're quite a ways away pasturing the flocks. Obviously, he trusts Joseph. He wants to find word about how the brothers are doing, and so Joseph goes there. We have the detail of him wandering around looking for them near Shechem, and a man tells them that the brothers have gone to Dothan, which is another 15, 20 miles. Interestingly enough, Dothan is on the caravan road. Mm. And so Shechem is not, Dothan is. And so we see a glimpse of God directing how things are going to go. And then we find that Joseph catches up with his brothers. He finds them, and they are not happy to see him. Mm. And just like Cain, in the account of Cain and Abel, they hate him, they envy him, they want him out of the way. And so they conspire to kill him. But Reuben, the firstborn, realizing he's responsible for things, does not want them to kill him. And so he convinces them to just put him in a pit, and his plan is to come back later and rescue him. Mm-hmm. While Reuben's gone doing something, it turns out that they decide that they're going to sell him because the caravan routes are going, caravan traders are going by. They see that. They go, "Oh, well, we don't have to kill him. We can sell him and get some money." And so that is what they do. And Reuben is comes back, finds out he's gone. And we find that it's Judah who has the bright idea of selling him. Mm-hmm. And we find he gets the common common price of a slave at the time, 20 pieces of silver. And then we find they do something very deceptive, which in this family is very typical. They kill a goat and smear the blood on the coat and take it back to the father, Jacob, and say, "Is this your son's robe? What, you know, what do you think happened to him?" And mm-hmm. so there, Jacob actually thinks that Joseph has been killed by an animal. In some sense, I would also guess he probably feels guilty because he's the one who sent him off alone. Mm-hmm. But we find, again, God working because Joseph's life was spared. And he was picked up by these traitors, and he's going to be going to Egypt. And we know from prophecy that Israel's entire family is going to spend 400 years in Egypt. And so God is working in and through these events to bring about his purposes, his plans. I think we also have to see a type of Jesus Christ here about someone rejected, a beloved son who is rejected, and then who is going to bring about redemption or salvation, but it's through suffering and difficulty. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's going to be a lot of suffering in the story ahead, and more dreams. So very exciting.
Yes, and so today that wraps up our lesson in Genesis. You can find the notes at naomistable.com.